You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And an accompanying verse to that, John chapter 3, verse 14. Two verses of scriptures again is Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And the accompanying verse is John chapter 3, verse 14. The sermon today is all about the love of our Savior, King Jesus. And the title of my sermon is There Was No Other Way. And obviously you see me up here before a different style of cross than a lot of people are used to, and I'm going to explain that in a few minutes. And as you're looking at the word of the Lord this morning, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, you find Jesus saying, I have not come to be ministered to. In other words, he's saying, I have not come here for you to take care of me. I have come to minister to you. Jesus has come to take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
And you know how he's going to take care of us? He's come to be a ransom for many. And I don't know about y'all, but I am thankful to God that he ransomed me. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus is talking to a fellow by the name of Nicodemus. And the whole chapter, John chapter 3, is about salvation. And Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, and just so you know, if you're not familiar with that, he didn't lift up a real snake. It was a bronze serpent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, this is Palm Sunday. We normally go for the triumphal entry, and I ask for some palm branches. And I love what the kids do. Now, when we were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, I couldn't resist. I had to turn around to somebody and say, we sound like we all just woke up from a nap because we were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. No. Okay, how do y'all think that they would have sounded with the King of Israel coming in? Has anybody ever been to a football game? Has anybody ever cheered at a football game? Okay, would y'all please help me cheer for King Jesus? And all I want you to do is just yell out Hosanna like you were at the World Series, like you were at the Super Bowl. And I know that we're Presbyterians, but I also know we're Cumberlands. And I know that y'all can holler and yell like good old-fashioned country folks can. So would you please with me, Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Hosanna! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord!
Yeah.
Thank you. That's how you should do it. I appreciate that. Now, palm branches on the ground and they're throwing the coats, and that is wonderful. But here's the sad part. Here's the part that every time I get this part, I just want to cry for King Jesus. Because the same group of people, in not too much of a long time, what are they going to be yelling? Now, not like you woke up from a nap. Because you are the same group of people. I want you to yell, crucify, crucify. You ready? Crucify him! Crucify him! Doesn't come out as cheery, does it? And the Pharisees are the ones, and the Sadducees and the religious leaders are the ones who took that same group of people and stirred them up to do that. They went from yelling and cheering and happy and praising the Lord and throwing their coats on the ground and palm branches to wanting him to be crucified. Where's my cross? Right here. This is so important, everybody. Here is a central theme of what we believe in as Christians. Now, I'm not going to be graphic today, but a crucifixion is graphic, isn't it? But I'm not going to be graphic, but I am going to cover a few things. You see, for thousands of years, and I can say a couple of thousand, because Christianity, we've been around for more than 2,000 years, the symbol of the cross has been in, you know, Christianity for a long, long time. And as a symbol of the cross goes, this makes you think of church, this makes you think of Bible studies, and all that kind of really good stuff. But in Jesus' day, the symbol of the cross was something that was for torture. It was for criminals. It had nothing to do with Bible studies or vacation Bible school or mercy or peace or love. It had nothing to do with any of that. It had everything to do with pain and suffering and criminals. And so in today's sermon, what I'm going to do, and if you have your hand up, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to explain this cross I have up here a little bit better, why I have something that looks a little different. And then we're going to look at, number one, we needed King Jesus to do this. And number two, when he did this, he paid it all. And finally, number three, he did it because he loves us. He loves us with such a profound, omnipotent, all-powerful love that we can scarcely begin to imagine the power of the love it would take to do this. Are y'all familiar with the kind of cross I have up here? If you are, just say yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. For some of y'all, this won't be new, but bear with me for a moment. A lot of people are used to a kind of cross that's called the Latin cross. If you go outside, we have three crosses up there. That's referred to a Latin cross. You can check out history of the cross or crucifixion or look up symbolology, and you will find that that cross right there is actually an extension of this one. You see, Jesus most likely was crucified on a cross that looked like this. And this is a capital T cross or a tau cross, because without my sign up here, it just looks like a capital T. But there's a reason for this. And let me explain the reason for this. I'm going to take my crown of thorns here. It's tied to it, but I'm going to put it over here out of my way. I'm not. We'll move. All right, anyway. What's important with this cross up here is when you look at this, it's not very tall, is it? Well, from the movies, you see Jesus, he's carrying this big old heavy cross, sometimes 12 feet tall, sometimes 14 feet tall. Well, actually, no, the cross was probably not that tall. It actually was probably either this tall or a little taller, because I'm sorry, in Jesus' day, the Jews were not 6'6" tall. They just weren't. Ethan and me are probably about a good size of a person back then. You know, we're about 5'7", 5'8". We're not that tall. And so, if you look at this cross right here, this would work. Now, the Romans were very efficient. And as you look at the history behind the cross, you will find that at some times, they were crucifying thousands of people at a time. Okay? So having them drag around these huge timbers and then go dig a hole, that's not very efficient. That's not very efficient at all. A matter of fact, these posts right here, the posts would have already been in the ground. And they would have been used several times. And so they would take this top piece up here, and this is the piece that Jesus most likely would have been carrying. Now, Ethan, would you come up here for a second and help me? All right. Would you go ahead and take that down? Just take it. Here we go. Now, the way this would have worked is they would have laid it on the ground like this, because the posts would have already been there. They would have laid Jesus down. They would have hammered the nails in. Then pick it up with me. And then they would have put it up here. Just put it over. And they would have put it up on top like that. Make sure it's balanced. And then the mercy seat right here, they would have had him scooch up on it, raise his legs, and hammer it. Notice it didn't take me and Ethan that long, did it? Now we're going to move on to the next one. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. The Romans were very efficient at what they did. Now, do y'all notice how I have ropes tied around it? And there's a reason for that. Imagine if I crucified and used these same posts 150 times. What would the wood start to look like? It would be all ragged. You couldn't get a nail in there. And so several times what the Romans would have done is they would have nailed the person to it, and then they had to tie the ropes around their hand and their feet. Now, I want to show you something else. Come over here. Now, as you go through Scripture, you're going to find where they either took a rod or they took a hyssop branch And they reached up and they gave Jesus a sponge with vinegar or gall on it. And in the movies and the older pictures show that they have this huge rod and they're, because the cross is so tall. Well, that's thinking like a Gentile and not like a Jew. Because let me explain what would have actually gone on with what they were doing. Okay? Because if you look at those accounts, first you have the scribes, you have the elders, you have the Pharisees there. And you have the women who also were there who loved Jesus. But this is important to understand, is that if somebody is up here crucified, then they are unclean. Now, if the scribes, if the chief priest, if an elder would have actually reached up with a sponge and touched King Jesus, what would have happened? They would have become unclean, correct?
Yeah.
And so you know what they would have done? They would have put it on a rod and touched his lips with it. And the rod didn't have to be that long. It only had to be long enough so they weren't touching him. And so when you stop and you think about what's going on with the crucifixion, it's not a very pretty sight, is it? This isn't a pretty cross, is it? It's not very symmetrical. Notice I have a sign up here that says, Jesus, King of the Jews, right? Why do you think that sign was nailed up there? Well, most people couldn't read, but there were still enough people who could read. But actually what would happen is somebody would have gone before Jesus as Jesus is walking till Golgotha. That's the place of the skulls. Somebody would have walked before him holding the sign, yelling out, he said he was the King of the Jews. He said he was a King of the Jews. It was like a town crier. It was somebody giving the news of what his crime was. They didn't have the internet, they didn't have television, and they didn't have radio, and they didn't have any of that stuff. So as you look at the cross up here, why did he do this? Everybody stop and think about that. Why did Jesus go to the cross? With all the pain and the suffering, and a torture device, why did he go to the cross? And the answer is this. There's no other way for us to be redeemed. There was no other way for us to have forgiveness. There was no other way for us to have a restored relationship with God. Here's what I want to share with everybody from number one. We are all sinners. And all means all. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? So are we all sinners?
Yes.
But here's something that a lot of people don't realize. We are born in sin. We live in sin. If nobody intervenes, we die in sin and we stay in sin. If I go back to Genesis chapter 3, I find Adam and Eve there. Guess what I find Adam and Eve doing? God said, don't eat the fruit. What did Adam and Eve do? They ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. And when they did that, they brought sin upon all mankind. So everybody begins separated from God. Let me say that again. Everybody begins separated from God because we all have original sin. Being separated from God, more happens there. And you know what that is? If nobody intervenes, we stay separated from God. We live separated from God. We die separated from God. And we will spend eternity separated from God. We needed King Jesus to go to the cross. We needed King Jesus to do that. Because we can't do it ourselves. The Bible is very clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nobody in this room could do this. Nobody in this room can pay their sin debt. The Bible is clear from the book of Ephesians. We are all spiritually dead in our sins and trespasses. That's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The people in the graveyard over there, they don't have a spark of life in them and are going to come up out of those graves by touching their own spark of life, their own spark of goodness, and go find a doctor. They're not going to do that, are they?
No.
Do you know what? If Jesus came down to that graveyard and said, okay, everybody, get up. They'll get up. And you know why? Because Jesus intervened. Spiritually, we are all dead in our sins and trespasses until Jesus intervened. Amen?
Amen?
And we needed this because we have no skill, No inner power, no inner will. There's nothing we can do to overcome it. We cannot pay for our salvation. We cannot do good deeds for our salvation. We can't. Salvation is not on a layaway plan. I'll get saved and pay it off with all my good deeds. It is not. Salvation is 100% free. You stop and you think about that. Jesus went to the cross freely. I don't know about y'all. I love that. Jesus went to the cross freely. If you look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus says, I'm going to be a ransom. So he's going to do this freely. If you look at John chapter 3, verse 14, he's telling Nicodemus, I got to go to the cross. I've got to be lifted up like the bronze serpent in the desert. I've got to go have that done. You know who else knew that Jesus was going to go to the cross? John the Baptist. Remember when Jesus was going down to the water? What did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He already knew that Jesus was going to be our atonement sacrifice. Amen? Now, he paid it all. Jesus went willingly. Nobody forced him to go. He went willingly because he loves us that much. And he loved us so much that he paid every last bit. If you have one of those handouts, I give you a verse from Isaiah. I give you a verse from Hebrews. I give you verses from Romans. I'm trying to demonstrate that when it says he paid it all, it's all been paid. It's all been taken care of. That's how powerful this sacrifice was. That's how powerful what he did was. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about how he was pierced for our transgressions, how we were healed by his stripes. When Jesus was beat, when he was scourged, that was part of our healing. Who deserved the scourging? Him or us? We did. We deserved it. Because he was scourged because I'm a liar. He was scourged because I'm a thief. He was scourged because, and you can keep on going down the list, right? Yeah. Because of my sins, he bore on the cross. I should have been there. But he loved me, and he loves you so much that he paid it all. And I love the book of Hebrews when it starts talking about Jesus as our sacrifice. He is the atonement sacrifice. He is also our high priest. Now, what does that mean? As our sacrifice, he has paid the sin debt in full. He has washed us away, washed the sins away. He has obtained that forgiveness, and we now have a right standing with God. But here's the thing. In the Old Testament, they had to do the sacrifice again and again and again. But you know what? Here in the New Testament, we have one sacrifice for all times. And you know why we have one sacrifice for all times? Because he's still alive. I love that. So if somebody walks in the door and says, I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I go, the sacrifice still remains for you. There is blood to atone for your sins and a high priest standing at the right hand of God who has made that sacrifice for you, and that sacrifice is still working today. Amen?
Amen.
So when we say he paid it all, it's everything. Who's going to sin tomorrow?
Everybody.
Yeah. Does the blood cover that?
Amen.
Yeah. His blood covers it all. There is not one drop of wasted blood. It is all perfect in his forgiveness of all of our sins. The end of this sermon is all about the love. And I want to share with you, as you look at this cross, I want to share with you an understanding. We have become desensitized to the cross. Let me explain what I mean. When you take something and you look at it again and again and again, it starts to lose its meaning. We see this a lot of times with television and movies. Study after study shows that if you sit there and you watch crime this and punishment that and thieves here, and all of a sudden you start getting desensitized to it. As Christians, we put pretty crosses on everything, don't we? We have cross bumper stickers. We have crosses on our coffee mugs. We have crosses that you can get little children stickers. And we have crosses refrigerator magnets. I think I even came across crosses on paintballs. And they even have the verse, John 3:16. We put crosses on everything. We got to stop and remember, there's nothing pretty about this, is it? This is not symmetrical. It's not pretty. It is painful. And during this season of the year, we're going to see crosses everywhere. Stop and remember that in Jesus' day, this was a torture device. Worse than the electric chair. Worse than a gas chamber. Worse than lethal injection. And as you look at this, never ever forget, He did it because He loves you. He has loved you before the foundation of the world. He loves you with a love that He was willing to be beat, scourged, mocked, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, and jabbed with a spear. That's how much He loves you, and so much more. Let us never forget that. When you look up here at the cross, just remember the power and the intensity of the love it would take to go willingly to this cross. I'm going to close with some very important scriptures now. Because as we preach crucifixion, as we preach the blood of Christ covering our sins, it is important to remember Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus is our ransom, right?
Amen.
Now, look at your scriptures and pay attention. Did He ransom everybody or did He ransom a few?
Everybody.
Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It doesn't say all. It says many. His blood is powerful enough to cover all mankind, right?
Yes.
But it is only effective for those who receive Him. I want everybody here to make sure that you are among the many. That you are among those who have received the blood of Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that He is your atonement sacrifice?
Amen.
Do you believe that He is your high priest?
Amen.
Do you believe and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your high priest, your King? Amen?
Amen.
Be amongst the many. Because there are going to be a lot of people out there who reject it. They reject Christ. They're going to reject the crucifixion. They're going to reject all of it. And you know why I know that? Because if you look at John chapter 3, not verse 14, but if you look at John chapter 3, verses 18, 19, and 20, you will find people will go after their sins and they would rather stay in sin than receive the light of the world. This is a very important time of year for Christians. Let us never forget the super power and intensity of the love of Jesus Christ. A love, yes, it could cover all mankind. Amen?
Amen.
But it is only effective for those who believe. That's why Jesus said, I've come to ransom many. Let me close this in prayer. Almighty God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord, we love You. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, strengthen us today to remember and never forget what happened on the cross. Father God, strengthen us to be the ones who call out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And let our lips be silent to calling out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Lord God, we love You and ask for Your hand of grace and mercy over us this week. Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, in Your holy, wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If anybody needs to come to the cross, if anybody needs to pray, if you know that there is somebody out there right now that they need Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have rejected Him, they have spurned His commands, whatever it is, please come to the cross. Pray in your pews, pray at the altar, pray wherever you need to. But for the sake of a lost soul, please pray for them.